Lastly, but definitely not least, just kind of so you guys know the structure of our church a little bit, there is what we call an in-house or local eldership, and that consists of myself and my lovely wife and Pastor Cameron and Pastor Jen, who are our youth pastors, and we pray and we meet and we seek God together for the direction, God's direction for this house. And I have an announcement that we are going to be adding to this team a lovely couple that we have known for a very long time who have been just great encouragers to us and good friends with us and also good friends with Pastors Doug and Lois. So if I could have Dan and Cheryl come on up. We are honored that they would be part of this team. Like I said, that they have been good friends, great encouragers, and they love the body of Christ. They love God, and they love you, and they pray for you, and they pray in God's goodness and blessing over you, and that you would come to know everything that God has in store for you. So I've asked Dan to just briefly speak just a little bit to you.
In other words, don't preach. When Pastor Jimmy called and talked to me about this, it was a very humbling experience for me. And I'd have to honestly say even sobering in that, recognizing that the call should not be taken lightly. You are an amazing congregation. And if there's one thing I know about this house is we want to take good care of the sheep. And so I am blessed and honored to be able to be a part of the team and allow God to work through us, both of us. In fact, when Pastor Jimmy called, Cheryl was sitting right next to me. I had a speakerphone, and she's like, yeah. And I'm like, well, I thought we were going to take a moment to pray about it, but apparently the voice of the Holy Spirit spoke through my wife, and it's a yes. So here we are. And we're just excited to be a part and looking forward to the season that God's going to take us in. It's amazing. So thank you.
Yes, and again, we're just honored that they would be a part of this team. They are faithful people. This is a faithful couple, faithful to God, faithful to this house, faithful to the body of Christ. If I could just have my wife come up really quickly, if you guys want to just stretch your hands towards them as we just pray this blessing over, covering over them, anointing over them. Lord God, we just thank you for our friends, Dan and Cheryl, Lord God, and we thank you for the call that you have placed on their life to build your church, to build this house, Lord God. And we ask right now just for a new grace, a new anointing as they come alongside the eldership of this house, Lord God, to continue to do that, Lord God. Continue to seek your will and to continue to build your kingdom here, Lord God, in Grace Harbor. And I just pray that anointing over them, that they would be good stewards of all that you have given them continually, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 We love them. They're amazing. They're fun. Last year, we happenstancely went on vacation together. We ended up the same place, same time. It was great. So we thought, well, let's make it on purpose this time. So we're going on vacation with them again this year. Let's see. Oh, also with the local eldership, I'll also let you know that we also have kind of an outside eldership covering team of a group of pastors that I have asked to be part of, kind of just like an oversight, a covering, speak wisdom through experience. And so to let you guys know who is on that team, Pastor Doug is on that team. As I think you guys would all know by now, he has a lot of wisdom built up over the years. And so I'm honored to have him on my team, as well as Pastor Michael Hurley from Oak Harbor. He was here for the transition service, and he was actually Pastor Cameron's former pastor, and he's awesome man of God, great wisdom in him, and I'm honored to have him. Also, Pastor Wes Dunn, who some of you may know, was the original youth pastor for this church way back in the day, and he tricked both me and my wife into youth ministry. And because of that, here now I stand. Praise God, right? But I'm honored to have him, and he's actually going to come and speak here the first part of May, so you get to hear from him. He's a great speaker, and that will be good. And then also Pastor Trevor Seaman from Victory Faith in Spokane is also part of my team. And these are just some guys that I've come to know more closely over the last few years, and men of just great maturity and great wisdom. And so I'm blessed that God has brought them into my life to help give me wisdom when I need it. So that's just kind of the structure of how we're built, just knowing that I'm not just trying to wing this all on my own and do this all on my own. First and foremost, I seek God, and he is the good shepherd. But I have some other people who seek the good shepherd as well to also speak into my life as well. So it's good, good covering. All right, we're going to jump into today's message now. We're going into Ephesians 4, and today's title is Altogether Better. So before we jump into it, I want to just pray really quick. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would come and that you would prepare our hearts, prepare the soil, Lord God, in us to receive the seed and the truth of your word today, that we may be changed and transformed by it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Last week we spoke about our inheritance, the inheritance that God has given us based on what Jesus Christ has done on the cross, that now we have an eternal inheritance that will never pass away. And that's not something that anybody can take from us. And that it was better than a billionaire's lake house, which will be here today and gone tomorrow. And like I said, he'd already, like, I don't know if I made that clear, but he built a structure, lived in it for a year, didn't like it, tore it down, built another. And he's probably tore down three or four more and built new ones. But everything on this earth does not last, but our inheritance in heaven lasts forever. All right, now we're going to jump into Ephesians 4. And I'm going to go through this here a little bit, starting in verse 1. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord. So again, this is Paul speaking. Because now we know what our inheritance is. We know that it's going to last for forever. Therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. So knowing what is set before you, knowing what you have secured in heaven for all eternity that you did not earn, now that it is yours, now walk in that manner that you would be worthy of that calling. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So we're supposed to, with humility and gentleness and patience, bear with one another in love. Meaning we're not always going to agree. We're not always going to get along, but we need to give grace to each other. And then it says, be eager to maintain the unity in the Spirit, of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now this word, eager, in other translations means diligent, says diligent, but it's the Greek word spoudazo, which means actually to strive for or to give your best effort, meaning there's some effort that is required, there's some strength required to maintain unity. It's just not going to be easy-go-lucky. There's going to be times where I don't agree with you, I don't like you, and likewise, I don't like what Pastor Jimmy just said right there. And it's going to take some effort and strength through the Holy Spirit to live in unity. And we have to ask the Holy Spirit continually, Holy Spirit, because we can't do this in our own strength. Our own fleshly strength, we will fail. And that is made apparent to me almost on a daily basis. And I'm like, God, please forgive me. I need your strength. Let me have grace with those around me, especially my family. It just seems odd that those that we have the least amount of grace for is the ones that we're closest to sometimes. I think it's because we're comfortable with them. But we need to have grace, and we need to be eager to maintain that spirit of unity with them as well. One other note I want to make just in these first few verses is that starting with verse 4, it says this. It says, there is one body, one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So I don't know if you caught that. Hopefully you did. But Paul references one quite a bit in a short amount of time. And in the Bible, if an author repeats a phrase, it usually means they're trying to emphasize something. They're trying to make a point. Hey, I want you guys to get this. This is important. Wake up. I'm going to have to say this several times maybe. I want you to understand that this is important. And the number seven, which he says is seven times, one body, one spirit, called to one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father. Seven times he references, like, hey, this is important. And the number seven in the Bible denotes completion or perfection. God created the earth in 7 days. Well, actually 6 days, and on the seventh he rested, but there was a seven-day process. So it represents perfection. Now, if you rewind all the way back to when we started this year and started our theme of be one, it was Jesus who prayed in John 17, I in them and you in me, that they may become what? Perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you have loved me. So Paul again here is saying, hey, it is important that we are one. It is the unity of the body in Christ is so important so that the world will know Jesus Christ. Do we not want people to know Jesus? Do we not want them to know what he has done for them? Then we are to live in as one so that they will. And perfectly one, which again can only happen by the power of the Holy Spirit. All right, continuing on, verse 11. To help us be one, God does this. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ. So he's given different ministries and teachers to help build up the body of Christ, to help build us up. We are the saints. All those who have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior are the saints that are being built up. And we've been blessed in this house to have some good teachers, to have some good shepherds. Pastor Cameron is a great teacher. Dan is a great teacher. And you guys will actually get to hear from him next week, as he will be teaching on Ephesians 5. And so you guys will be blessed with that. But God has given several different ministries to help us be trained up, to be built up, and to be one as God has called us to be one, so that we can then do the work of the ministry as one body moving forward. And it doesn't all fall on myself and my wife, or Pastor Cam, Pastor Jen, or Dan and his wife, Cheryl, but it rests on all of us. The work of the ministry rests on all of us. And it's so important that we come together and work together as one. All right, continuing on. I know you guys are probably looking at my golf clubs in the background there, and like, what are those doing there? We'll get to that in a second. Verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of faith and of knowledge, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So he's given us all these teachers, prophets, all these ministries to help us be built up, equipped, strengthened, unified, until what? We attain the unity and the fullness of our mature manhood, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speak the truth in love. We are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. So we are to help each other grow and not be tossed to and fro. that we do not believe the lies of the enemy. We do not believe the doctrines of the world, but we believe in the truth of God's word. And again, God gives these different ministries to help us in that, to where we can attain that maturity in Christ Jesus, that we're not like little children. Ephesians now 4:16. From whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. All right, so the head is Christ, from whom the whole body, that is us, the saints, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. When one part of the body is strong, it helps the other part of the body be strong. I don't know if you guys have ever done any working out, but there's what you call a full body workout. And you work out your arms. And yeah, actually, if you work out your arms, it strengthens your back as well. Or if you work out your legs, it strengthens your core as well. When one part of your body is strong, another part of your body gets stronger as well. Now, Paul writes another passage of scripture, and it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and he talks about the many different parts of the body. Though we all are unique, we are all one, but he talks about the different parts in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, starting with verse 4. I'm just going to read through here really quick. And says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. Meaning, God has given each and every one of us unique gift sets. We're not all the same. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. How many are you glad that you have some wise people in your life? I sure am. Again, Pastor Cameron and Dan and my executive team, my outside eldership, wise people. And to another, the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. I love how God builds up his body and places different gifts within his body. We heard when we had our transition weekend, we had some prophets in the house speak prophetically. We have some people of wisdom in here. We have some people of discernment in here as well. I believe Sandy came up and gave a great word. She was discerning a spirit that needed to be combated, a spirit of worthlessness that she combated with the spirit of truth. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ, for in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit, for the body does not consist of one member, but of many. Just like our physical bodies, we consist of many different parts, making up one body. Now, this is called a set of golf clubs, for those of you who do not know. And many clubs make up this one set. And there are, they don't all look the same. They don't all serve the same function. But when they work together, which on the very rare occasion do they, it turns out really nice. This club right here is my favorite club. This is called a driver. And it's the biggest club. It's the most impressive club. And you can hit the ball a really long way with this sometimes. Amen. But it's my favorite club because it's the one that I'm the most skilled at. And I get the most compliments for getting up there on the when you get up, they call it a tee box. You get up on the tee box, you tee your ball up, and you hit it. And I'm fairly good with this club. And many times, people are impressed when I hit the ball. And it makes me feel really good. But for the sake of saving myself from embarrassment, I have to quickly tell people, yeah, that was good, but just wait until you see the rest of my game. You won't be as impressed. And sure enough, the very next shot will probably go into the woods. But so that is, I would say, my favorite club, most impressive club. The next, it's also the largest club in the bag. The next one I want to show to you is this one. It is the smallest club in the bag. And this is called a putter. That one hits the ball a long ways, but this is the one that actually puts the ball in the hole, which is the object of the game. And you need it. Another one that I want to show you. So this one, on a good day, for those of you who don't know, a golf hole can range for anywhere from 350 to 450 yards. On a good day, I can hit this club about 300 yards. It's amazing how I can hit it so far, and then the last 1,500 yards takes me like 9 or 10 strokes. It's crazy, but I'm still working on that, which is why I've got my clubs up here today, is because I wanted to work on my short game. I was like, what better time to do that than actually in my sermon. This one is called a sand wedge, and it helps you get out of the sand if you know how to use it, which I don't, so it usually still takes me several shots to get out. But it also, it's able to elevate the ball so you can avoid the sand at times as well, or get away from trouble. And because I want to have a little fun today, I've got a couple of practice balls that we're going to practice with. And on them, it has a free 12-ounce. So if you catch this, you get a free coffee out at our cafe. So I'm just going to throw a couple of these here. Now, do you think it would be good if I tried to use this club? No? Oh, okay. I mean, it would be a lot of fun for me, but... Or if I use this club, probably wouldn't get out to you guys very well. So we're going to try, I'm going to try this club, my chipper. We're going to try this here and see if I can't get one of these to you guys. All right, have a little fun there. So, obviously, you guys told me that I wouldn't have been able to do that with this club. I wouldn't be able to do that with this club. But many times, we can diminish our giftings and skills and look at somebody else, be like, wow, if I was just like that person, they look so impressive. Like, they can do some amazing things, but there's some amazing things that they do, but there's some things that they can't do that God has equipped you to do. And so we shouldn't diminish our skills or diminish the giftings of others as well, recognizing that God has gifted us all in different and unique ways for the betterment of the whole and for the building of his kingdom. Amen? Amen. Amen. And when we work together, and when we each are recognizing our giftings and our functions, we help each other as well. I believe it was a couple weeks ago, Pastor Cameron was speaking about the potter and the clay and how we've each been fashioned and formed by God and how we work best when we are operating in the function that God has created us for. It would not be good if a teapot tried to act as a hammer. It would not work, nor would it work if, in the opposite fashion, a hammer tried to work as a teapot. You wouldn't get much tea. You can get frustrated with the tool, but you're not using the tool in the manner in which it is made. So you yourself should not try to operate in the manner in way that you were not made and try to desire something that God doesn't have for you, but appreciate the way that God has made you for the specific purpose that he has made you for. And I am just so grateful, again, for all the people that God has put in this church. God has put in here some great evangelists. I know some of you. You're out there always talking to people about Jesus. Hey, you need to come to Harbor City Church. You're going to be welcomed. You're going to be invited. It's going to feel like home. And I'm so appreciative. Don't neglect that calling. And the teachers and the prayer warriors and those who are expertly equipped at serving and building and construction and hospitality. I'm so, so thankful. And if you don't know how you're specifically equipped or function, you can pray. We also have an amazing set of classes called our Equip classes. And in Equip 201 is where you take an assessment where you kind of discover how God has made you and the giftings that he's given you so that you can operate in the manner in which he's made you for. So if you haven't gone through those classes, I would encourage you to do so. And then watch what God does when, that's one of the things that is our heart, was we want you guys to know God, to find freedom, discover your purpose, and then make a difference with that purpose. And when each part is functioning as it should, when the driver is driving well, which usually does, when the chipper is chipping well, which it does 50% of the time, and when the putter puts well, which is maybe another 50% of the time. But when all those align, I have a great golf day. But when we all align with our giftings and talents, it comes together and we are better than we would ever be apart. Recently, me and my wife went on a trip to California, and I was, as we were coming in to the airport, just landing and coming into our dock, I was just looking outside at a window seat and just watching all the different people run around. One person, you know, waving the plane in, another person driving the cart around to pick up the baggage, another person driving the gas truck or the fuel truck to fill up the plane, and several other people doing other different things. And I was just thinking about it. I was watching, and I was like amazed, like, man, like, everybody's where they're supposed to be, doing what they're supposed to be, and accomplishing something together that they couldn't accomplish each by themselves. Recognizing what their role was, what their gifting was, and doing it to the best of their ability. And now if the baggage person decided, nah, I'm just going to go with the fuel guys and fill up the plane, this baggage thing is for the birds, there'd be a lot of disgruntled people, right? And it wouldn't work as smoothly. So we need to operate in the giftings that God has called us. Now, Paul continues on in 1 Corinthians 12, and he talks about the different parts of the body, and he uses literal terms. He talks about hands and feet and eyes and mouths and how the mouth should not say to the eye that it doesn't have any need of it. Or the eye shouldn't say to the mouth, I don't have need of you. The hand shouldn't say to the foot, I don't have need of you. Which I got a quick joke. My son, he's like, I don't like this. It's a dad joke. What has five toes and is not your foot? It's my foot. Oh. That was so bad. But it was funny. Got you to laugh. But we should not neglect the different parts of the body or minimize them as well. All right, continuing on our scripture here as we're winding down. Verse 25. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. And let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, all along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Not only should we not minimize somebody else's giftings, but we should not harm each other as well. That word slander means to harm one's name. We should not speak ill about somebody's name. Because if we harm one member of our body, it hurts us. It would be stupid if my hand was like, you stupid foot, and just smashed it in the ground. Well, then that wouldn't be good. I'd be hobbling around. And the whole of my body would not benefit from it. So we should guard our tongues, guard our hearts. We should speak only that which is building up. Quickly, going back to the clubs, they only work best when every piece is doing what it is designed for. Again, this would not work well as a driver. It would probably break if I swung it that hard and tried to hit a ball. And on one occasion, back in my younger years, when I was not as well-equipped, I guess, to control my temper, often I would throw the clubs farther than I hit the ball. I don't do that anymore. I think my son can attest to that. God has helped me. But one occasion, in the middle of my round, I got so angry that I missed a putt that I took it out on my putter, and I chucked it. I didn't really think of where I was chucking it, and ended up hitting a tree, and it snapped in half. Well, I couldn't use that anymore, so I had to resort to using my driver as my putter the rest of the round. And it quickly became apparent to me how this is not equipped to putt the ball in the hole, and how much I missed the putter, and how foolish I was for bringing harm to it. We should guard our hearts, we should guard our mouths, and we should not bring pain, we should not bring hurt or damage to any members of our body, because it only hurts us, it only limits us in our effectiveness for God's calling for this house. When one of us hurt, we all are affected. Finally, I want to just make note of this. In verse 32, it says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. As God in Christ forgave you. How did Jesus forgive us? Strings attached? No, unconditionally. Not because we earned it. It's like, you guys have been... you've been a good little boy. You've been a good little girl. Here's my forgiveness. No, I offer it to you even though you don't earn it, even though you don't deserve it. And so we should be the same. We should offer forgiveness. We should offer grace to those. Now, there's no need for forgiveness if there's nothing to forgive. So there's going to be times in our life, there's going to be instances where people do say mean things to us, and we have an opportunity to become bitter and unforgiving from that, and in turn bring harm and hurt to that person. Or we can choose to do what Jesus did with us. Even though we harmed him and hurt him, he chose not to retaliate in that same way, but instead offered us for forgiveness. And we should do that with our brothers and sisters as well. So let's guard our hearts, let's guard our mouths, let's speak life. Let's build up. Let's grow together. Let's be strong together. Let's each of us function as we've been designed to function, and let's build the kingdom of God together. Amen? Amen. Let's stand. Again, that all of this starts with accepting the good gift that Jesus gave us, the gift of forgiveness, the gift of salvation that we did not earn. He freely gave it to us, and we have the choice to accept it or not. God, thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for covering my sins. So if you are here this morning, you've not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've not accepted his forgiveness and the covering of your sins, if you've not come into the part of the family of God and you want to this morning, with every head bowed, every eye closed, I just want to ask you, if you want to make that decision today, make that commitment today, could you just raise your hand at me? Is there anybody like that? So I need forgiveness for my sins. I want to accept that. Anybody like that this morning? I'll wait a couple more seconds. It says, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. Anybody like that this morning? No? All right. Then we're family. And if we're family, we should treat each other like family. So as we close, I'm just going to pray real briefly. If I could have the prayer team come forward. If you need prayer for anything, please come get prayer. Get encouraged, get built up. And we're just going to finish with some worship. But Lord God, thank you. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your forgiveness. Holy Spirit, help us. Help us to be an extension of your grace, of your forgiveness, and your love.